Valley 104.9 goes behind the scenes with former King County Councilperson Kathy Lambert every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. as part of Valley 104.9's Community Talk and Info Sundays.
Thank you for joining us tonight with Behind the Scenes with Kathy Lambert. We are glad to have you with us. And today we're interviewing Amy Biggs, who is in charge of the Snoqualmie Valley Transit. You see the buses going around the area. And so today you get to know a little bit about Amy and the wonderful service that she provides to our community. So with that, welcome, Amy. We're glad you're with us.
Thanks for having me here to talk about this important topic.
Excellent. So could you, before we even get into the questions, could you tell us a little bit about how long you've lived in the Valley and how long you've been with Snoqualmie Valley Transit?
Yeah, my husband and I moved here in 1997, and we live in North Bend. And I started with SVT. I was a volunteer for a year starting in about May or June of 2012. And then was hired to run the Snoqualmie Valley Transportation as a part of a project of Mount Si Senior Center in 2013.
And I remember the early days of you being at the Senior Center, and it was crowded space, to be sure. You want to talk a little bit about how crowded that space got before you finally got bigger space?
It was a little bit crazy. We had three desks that were sitting in the hallway directly opposite the main activity center in a little tiny room where dispatch sat, and then drivers coming and going all day. And it was loud and difficult. And thank heavens that you got Metro to come out and take a look at what we did so that we could get an office. So now we're over on Bulch, right behind where Chinook Lumber, Moon Valley Cycles used to be. And it's great. And we're growing.
It is wonderful space. And it was very exciting because I remember one day going into the Senior Center and you were collating something, and they had put a piece of wood across the sinks in the bathroom so that they could collate things. And I just sat there shaking my head going, oh my. This is dedication and interesting working conditions, and definitely time to get new space. So I am thankful that you have the space you do, and also that you have more place to park your buses. How many buses do you have right now?
We currently have 17 vehicles, and actually the space that we're in is owned by Beth Burrows, who also owns North Bend Theater. And she is just the loveliest person. And she's given us the ability to create a big turnaround and lots of places to park the buses. And it's great.
That's wonderful. I'm really glad you have the turnaround area because it makes it so much easier to not have to be doing what I lovingly sometimes call my 20-point turn. that is always interesting. Before I got backup cameras, I was always very careful. So having the ability to go around in a circle is very nice. Thank heavens for the backup cameras. So how do people get your service, and what exactly is that?
Okay, so we're a little bus service. So we just have little buses. We don't have big buses. And we have, as I said, there's 17 buses, and they cover the area from North Bend to Monroe. So if you mentally can see that map in your head, if you're one of those people who can visualize things, the way that people in rural areas move, it's really important to understand, because if you understand that, you understand more about the types of services. So we have these cities that go up and down 202, 203, North Bend and Snoqualmie, Falls City, Preston, Carnation, Duval, Monroe, and they're kind of in a straight shot up the valley. And people from the outlying areas, which more people live in the unincorporated areas than they do right in the cities, in order to They move from their homes in towards the center of their local city. And from there, they need to be able to move from city to city. So that's local service, right? And then there's moving from the center of your own city, whatever it happens to be, to the nearest employment center, which might be Issaquah, Bellevue, Redmond, Seattle, whatever. So we do the local service. Metro does the big bus service that gets people to Redmond from Duval and to Issaquah from North Bend and Snoqualmie. Okay, so if you're painting your map there, you have little sticks and sort of like big blobs, right? So the big blobs, all those unincorporated areas, as I said, people move from their home generally in towards the center. So it's a kind of service that's called demand response or door to door. So you call us up and go, hello, on Tuesday I want to go here and on Wednesday I want to go there. And we take that information and we create routes for the drivers that are different every day, where they go around and they pick people up and they generally are taking them to, they're taking them to a job or they're taking them to a before after school activity, or they're taking them to the senior center or to the store for shopping or the post office or wherever they need to go. So we pick up anybody from age 10 and up. Although little buses have, they have bike racks, they have wheelchair lifts. That's the demand response door to door. Okay. So now we have a map with big sticks that shoot from the center of cities off to the employment center. And then we have these unincorporated door-to-door demand response buses. And then within that, we figured out, hey, these are places that people need to go really regularly that aren't covered by the big buses and they're not covered by us. So we created this little circulator loops. So the circulator loops go to locations instead of bus stops, and they kind of loop around and you stand at one of those locations and the bus comes up and it's got a quasi schedule and you get on and you get off wherever that bus is going, depending upon which one it is. So there's timetables and there's schedules. They're on our website, www.svtbus.org. Or if you don't know how the buses work and you just want to find out more, just call 425-888-7001 and say, I want to learn how the buses work. So, the strange thing, I think, is that a lot of people think that little buses you have to be eligible to be on. So, they do this thing called sensory gating, where they just stop seeing the buses because they think they don't apply to them. It's kind of the opposite of like when you get a brand new car and all of a sudden you start seeing your car everywhere. And you didn't think it was that popular, but you're like, hey, there's one there. Hey, there's one there. Hey, there's one exactly like mine. But you didn't really see them before. With the buses, people actually don't see them because they've written them off as they're probably for just for seniors or just for people with disabilities, or they're just doing something. I don't know what it is, but I'm probably not eligible to be on it. Then once they start recognizing the buses, we'll get these calls going. Did you get a bunch more buses? Because I see them everywhere. And they really are. I mean, we're doing more than 25,000 miles a month, which is larger than the circumference of the earth, all within Snoqualmie Valley every month. And it's all on time, totally reliable, completely accessible. Most of the time, it costs a dollar, and a lot of the buses don't even cost anything. And kids 18 and under ride free on all of them, anything, even the door-to-door service. So it's great. I mean, it gets a lot of people around. We do more than 40,000 rides, did more than 40,000 rides last year. We need to be at probably, I don't know, 200,000. And we could have the capacity. So if more people took the bus, even if it's just like a sunny day and you want an air-conditioned vehicle and you just want to go up and down to Duval or go to the farmers market or whatever it happens to be, then yeah, Get on the bus, don't drive.
How long before you want to go someplace? Can you give me that range of I want to go right away, and give me the range of I know I need to go to the doctor in a month. What is the range of letting you know?
Okay, so we don't require more than like 2 or 3 days. However, once the routes have been created for the day, if you call up and say, "Hey, it's me, I'm at my house," you register with the service, so you can just call up and say, "Hello, this is Kathy Lambert. I want to go to QFC," and we can say, "Okay, Kathy, we're gonna have a bus in your area at about 1. Would that work for you?" So we do a lot of probably 15, 20% of the call requests that we get are actually same day. And it would be great if we could have the Harry Potter night bus, because that's pretty much what everybody wants, to be able to walk out in front of their house and raise their wand and have the bus immediately show up. But the difference between that and the convenience that that would give everybody, and the funding that's available to create that, is where things get slightly disconnected in terms of convenience.
So if I looked at your website in the morning and saw that you were going to be at, say, QFC, at, say, 1 o'clock, do I need to tell you, hey, I'm going to be there, or can I just come out of the store and look for you?
Oh, I see where you're going. So the door-to-door buses, you have to be registered on. But those circulator loops and like the Valley Shuttle, that fixed route that goes between North Bend and Duval once an hour, that's like once an hour Monday through Friday, and it's like every 90 minutes on Saturdays and Sundays now, because we have weekend service.
That's so
On the
exciting.
so those are like hop on, hop off buses. So you don't have to call us or anything. You just look at a schedule and you go, "Hey, this bus is going from, QFC to the Outlet Mall. And I want to get to the outlet mall." So you just stand out in front of QFC and the bus will show up, and you go, "Hello." Get on the bus and say, "I'm going to the outlet mall."
And so, how do I pay for this? Do I give you a dollar bill? Do I give you an Orca card? Do I give you my charge card? How do I pay for this?
Yeah, we had a chance when we started the Valley Shuttle, which you were really instrumental in that in 2013. We had the opportunity to go to Orca Cards, but we started looking into it, and it was really expensive, number one. But more than anything, it's really hard for people to buy Orca cards out here. And for people who have special needs, they still need to be able to go online and do a bunch of stuff that a lot of seniors are not able to do. So we stuck with it's a dollar. That's it.
Okay.
The
Well,
Valley
that's great.
Shuttle is a suggested donation of a dollar. As I said, kids ride free. Seniors can buy a 10-ride punch card for $8.50. So that makes the rides 85 cents. We are actually looking at the possibility of making all the buses free by working with the cities to possibly get funding for green initiatives, and see if the cities would be willing to help us to offset fares so that all the buses will be free for everyone, which would be epic and really make Snoqualmie Valley unique.
Well, it is a unique place, and I don't think people realize how many wonderful things, besides the wonderful people who live there, are out in the valley. And I know the chambers worked very hard to start talking about looking at what are some of the things here that you can do that are very fun. So having this bus, and I think what you said earlier is so true. And so maybe one of the things of the outcome of this call, or this interview, will be to say to people, look for how many of the Snow Valley Transit buses you can see. And then after you've seen 10 or 15, then you decide that you're going to be on one of them soon, just as an experiment to see what is it like. And being able to go to the outlet mall and then be able to, watch what time it is and make sure that you're outside when the bus comes. and be able to get back home again. And I know a lot of people are concerned about their costs, and luckily gas prices are coming down a bit, but gas is expensive. And so if you can ride around and go to different places on the Snoqualmie Valley Transit for free or a dollar, that certainly would save money. I know that at one point you had some activities that were going on at the senior center, and you would go pick up all the seniors that had said they wanted to go. And I remember one day they came in, and many, many of those people were over 90. And we took a picture with all the people that were over 90. And I thought, how wonderful is that? That these, and they were all women, but all these women who likely aren't driving anymore, although several of them did still drive, but not being able to get out like they used to, but yet on, and I don't remember the day of the week, that they would all be able to get to the senior center and visit with one another, and how exciting that was. Do you ever do any like groups meetings, like if you the Rotary or the Kiwanis or some organization would like to learn more about how to do this? Do you ever go out to them and make presentations?
Yeah, I do almost a crazy amount of presentations just about everywhere. We can't do charters. We can do rides that are booked. So the difference between, and we really need some sort of charter bus out here. People are constantly calling me for it, but the difference between a charter and our bus is the zip. With a charter, you control pick me up at this time and drop me off at that time. With our bus, you could say, come to this location, pick up eight people, and have them here by noon. But you can't control both sides of the equation, the pickup and the drop off. That's what a charter is. So we're not allowed to do charters based on our the funding that we get. But I go out and I talk to folks all the time about buses, and that's why I always think it's so funny, because I'll run into somebody who was in like a Rotary meeting or chamber meeting or whatever, and they'll go, "Oh, you're the bus lady. Yeah. Did you get a bunch more buses? Because they're everywhere." So I love the idea of, doing some sort of thing that maybe it's just a social media thing that says, "How many times did you see a Snoqualmie Valley Transportation bus today?" And just have people count as they're out and about, because they kind of are everywhere.
Yeah. But and I think it would be fun for people to in their own minds say, after I've seen my 10th or my 15th or my 20th, I'm going to get on that bus. Just to go someplace, just to say what it's like. And you never know when your car's going to break down, or your child needs to borrow your car, or the car needs servicing or whatever. And if you've ridden the bus and you feel comfortable to look at the schedule and to say, okay, well, I know I need to buy X number of things at QFC or whatever the store is, or even go to a coffee shop and meet a friend. Okay, well, I'm going to be there for 2 hours, so I can pick up the bus here, and I know it'll be close to my coffee shop or my grocery store or wherever I'm headed. And then I can take and plan my afternoon or morning, whatever, and be able to make sure that I can get back and forth using these, and so that I don't feel like, I'm stuck if the car breaks down or something else happens. So I think that's really fun. So I'm so thankful to hear that you have weekend bus service. That was a huge, huge lift to get weekend bus service. And so I'm glad that persistence pays off. So that is very, very good.
Well,
So,
we're funded by grants that we write to Washington State Department of Transportation and the Snoqualmie Tribe, who's been a partner since 2006, and King County Metro. So it's an interesting service model that hasn't been duplicated in a lot of places, and I'm not quite sure why, but it ends up being really good for the transit agency, because they get to say, look at this coverage that we're providing, but they don't end up having to pay for everything. So the state pays for a portion of it. So it's kind of like we're subsidizing the county system by bringing in money to provide services that they probably wouldn't be providing if they had to pay for everything, because it's just too expensive for anybody to try and pay for all on its own. So, yeah, I mean,
So
60% of SVT is brought to you by King County Metro. There we go.
good. Well, that's great. I'm glad that that is how much it is. And I also like the idea of the partnership, because everybody has a claim and wanting to know how things are going, and being able to be a great advocate saying, yes, we participate at this level. And maybe some of the businesses later would want to contribute too, as you move people from one place to the other. And what are your service hours? When do you start in the morning? When do you end at night?
So the Valley Shuttle, which is the fixed route, the regular bus service that uses all the metro bus stops and stuff, that goes from 5:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends it goes from 7:30 a.m. It's either 7:30 or 8 o'clock. God, I have to look at a schedule. Until 9:30 p.m. So on the weekends, it's every 90 minutes, and Monday through Friday, it's once an hour, and it goes to all the metro bus stops from here to Duval. And then the demand response goes from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the Upper Valley. And unfortunately, now it only goes from 7:30 to 4 on, or 7:30 to 3:30 on in the Lower Valley. So we need more service there. And then we are about to restart the Duval Monroe shuttle, which I'm very excited about because it's been gone for a bit. And that will be a peak route service. So pretty much there's somebody here in the office from 5 o'clock in the morning until 9:30 at night.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Will you explain to the audience what a peak route is?
Yeah, a peak route is instead of having, okay, so I'll give you sort of a background on the Duval Monroe shuttle. It used to, when the Valley shuttle got to Duval, you could get off that bus and get right on another bus that would go up to, straight up to Walmart and Monroe. And then it sort of tootled around town and went by the library and a bunch of human services. And then it came back to Duval. But since it ran from 8 to 4:30, there were students who were trying to get to advanced placement courses at the community college up there, and there were people who were trying to get to jobs, and having an 8-hour route doesn't work for people who have to work for 8 hours on the other end of that route. So a peak route separates it into morning and evening service, so you can get to where you need to go, spend 8 hours there, and then get back. So when we restart this, which will be April 15th, really excited, you will be able to get off the Valley Shuttle and directly onto this route that will now go straight all the way up to Walmart and then come back and go straight down. What this does is it, instead of attempting to provide community service within, like a circulator bus within Monroe, what it does is it gets people to downtown Monroe, and or it gets them to like the theaters and things like that that are right along that main drag, or it gets them to community transit so that community transit can get them to Everett if they need to, or Index, or Gold Bar, or Sultan.
Yes, all the little
All
stops
points
along the way.
east, yeah.
Yeah. So at one point, years and years ago, I remember a study that was a user study, and you found that there were many more people than you had realized that needed a specific hospital service up in Monroe. And so that you wanted to change the route to take care of this particular medical need. And I was so impressed that when you wrote the survey, got it out there, got the data back, and realized, oh my goodness, there is an amazing, important need here, and adapted and made that happen. So, in the new service, will the hospital be part of your route up into Monroe?
It will be hopefully close enough.
Okay.
The hospital, there's like three hospitals when you get up past Main Street in Monroe. There's like two on the left and one on the right, or is two on the right and one on the left. But that'll be right along that main drag. And
That'll be great.
that person that you're talking about, that young man, he was going to dialysis and he couldn't get to. We would actually pick him up in Duval on the Valley shuttle, bring him down to Snoqualmie, and then pick him up with a door-to-door bus and take him to dialysis on the ridge. And it was 2.5 hours per direction per day on top of 4 hours of dialysis. It was horrifying. It was so bad. And it's literally 20 minutes along Highway 203 between Duval and Monroe. And he couldn't get there because there was no bus. And so, yeah, when we got the cities together, it wasn't just me. I explained the situation, and the cities, we had to start a pilot project with the money that we got from Easter Seals. And the cities had come up with, well, maybe we should try like a volunteer thing, or maybe we could, do this or that. And I told that story, and to their credit, every one of the cities went, wait a second, we have no bus between Duval and Monroe. Let's do that. So, yeah, the only, weird aside, the only way at that time that you could get, if you didn't have a car, from Duval to Monroe, and this is crazy, was you had to go from Duval to Redmond, Redmond to Bellevue, Bellevue to Seattle, Seattle to Linwood, Linwood to Everett, Everett to Monroe. And it used four different buses. $10.50 in fares, and took a minimum of 5.5 hours one way to take that 20-minute drive. That's the importance of buses.
And it's the importance of everybody listening to talk about this when you're at the coffee shop or at the grocery store or just sitting with friends, because I don't think most people realize how it used to be, and that there was no weekend service, and that you had very few buses to start with, and all the things, and there was no weekend service, and you are an amazing advocate, and so. I think it's really important that people know all that you've pushed for over these years and how much things have improved for people and can improve even more with the capacity you just talked about, so that more and more people can use the bus. And one of the things that I remember, and so I want to see if it's still true, that, like, say the bus stop is at the corner. But Mrs. McGillicuddy needs to go into the pharmacy that's, 30 feet away, and she's not capable of that she can ask to go in closer into the, is that still part of what can happen?
We can take people as close. Some routes allow us to get closer. Some routes don't.
Okay.
So there are always going to be people who want our drivers to be personal care attendants, and they can't do that.
No.
Like they want somebody to walk with someone all the way down a street to walk them in a store, or could you please, take me up my stairs with my groceries and help me put them away, and here's my key. And the drivers can't do any of that stuff, but we
Yes.
can boink off the regular routes, like the circulator routes. If they call and they say, okay, the route's going between here and here, can you take me off route to this one location? All people have to do is call dispatch and book that. They can ask the rider for an on-road deviation, but the drivers don't get to make up the route. So they would advocate for the rider, call into dispatch and say, hey, I've got Mary on the bus and she wants to go to such and such. And dispatch will look at the route and say whether or not that's possible to do.
We'll
So,
stick
but with the
we'll stick
door-to-door routes, you can say, I want to go from my home to this location. And they'll drop you off at that location. So just kind of different service levels.
yeah, and just being able to know that they can call and ask that. And I know a woman years ago called, and she had to take some kind of medication that she needed to get, and there she didn't have any family nearby to help, and so she wanted to be able to do that, and she was so excited that she had talked to you that she called me and said, "She's gonna do it for me. She's gonna do it for me. I can get my own medicine." And she was so excited by the independence of that and being able to say, I have somebody who cares enough that, and it was like just in the driveway from the route. It wasn't far at all, but it meant the world to her. And so the flexibility, the kindness, the openness, is just so amazing.
Our
So
drivers are amazing. I'm always telling people they're kind of like bartenders with no booze. They are driving around and everybody tells them everything, especially on the demand response. The riders know each other. The drivers are so kind. And we don't even ask the drivers, how was your route? We say, how are your riders? And they'll come back with, oh, okay, remember I told you that Mary had that hip surgery and I saw her coming out of physical therapy today and oh my gosh, she looked great. She was just like walking like she looked like $1 million. It was great. There was a relief driver that we had for a while. They moved out of the area, but he had come back into the area and it was about 3 years since he'd driven for us. And he had an encounter at Target in Issaquah and came back specifically to talk to us to say, you wouldn't believe what happened. I was standing in the checkout line at Target and there was, let's call her Megan. Megan was one of my riders like 3 years ago. And when I walked down, to pay for stuff, she looked up and saw me and went, "Oh, Brian, it's you." And he went, "I remember you." And she goes, "I came to the women's shelter and I had my two kids and the shirt on my back. And because of SVT, I got a job and I kept it. And because of that job, I got a car. And because of that car, I have a better job and now I have an apartment and my kids are safe. And that was you." I'm like, oh my God, coolest thing ever. This stuff happens. The impact of having a ride is epic. I mean, the two things that cost us the most, but mean the most, are housing and transportation. And when somebody lives in an urban area, chances are there's transportation close to them. When you live in a rural area, the distances are really long. I mean, they're long. And you can't walk them. I mean, anybody ever try to walk down the hill from Wilderness Rim? I would suggest you don't. There's no sidewalks, there's no lights, there's wild animals. It's a whole thing, right? And can you really walk up and down an 800-foot incline to walk into town 5.5 miles to get your medication? That's crazy. I mean, that's just not something people can do. So the impact of transit or lack thereof on rural areas is intense. It's so much more important because the services are so much farther away from everyone.
Years ago, when we first started doing the transportation plan, the original plan, people said, "Well, there aren't that many people out there, so they don't need buses." And I was like, "Whoa, wrong." So it was very interesting to see in the very beginning how little people realize this importance, the severity, and the need. And at first, people were not very generous when it first started because they didn't even have weekend hours. And eventually, that was able to be phased in. So you're a good
We've really come a
advocate.
long way. I mean, a lot of it was with your help when you were on King County Council. When I started, SVT has been around since 2003, and we were started as part of a program called CAT, Community Access Transportation, that was offered by King County Metro. And Metro came out and offered Mount Si Senior Center, which we're a project of Mount Si Senior Center. They came out and offered them a van. And said, hey, do you want to be able to use this to do local transportation for your seniors or whatever you need it for. And Mount Si Senior Center said, yeah, we do. And then they went back and said, okay, we need another van and we need more money. And the CAP program said, okie doke. And then in 2005, I guess, the Federal Transit Administration came out with a new form of funding that was called tribal transit funding. And they went to the FTA, went to the Snoqualmie tribe, and the Snoqualmie tribe said, well, wait a second, do we have to start this on our own if we get this funding, or could we give it to Mount Si Senior Center because they're doing this little bus thing and they need more buses and they need more funding? And so they not only got that funding, but they used it as a match for a grant to Washington State Department of Transportation, which is how SVT was sort of really born as a general public transportation company. And we had like one, two, three, four, a total of six routes, 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. And it was just doing nothing but demand response. And then in 2013, or actually 2012, late 2012, Metro was going, a bunch of our funding was cut, first off, and we had to cut off portions of the Lower Valley, which was horrifying. I mean, really bad. And then Metro came out and did a number of meetings talking about different mobility options. And in each one of the meetings, they explained how the one bus that they had that was going from North Bend to Duval was going to have to go away because it didn't have enough people on it for the number of hours that it ran. And all the people in the meetings said, you should give the money to SVT. I bet they could do it. It was the first time, I believe, that Metro ever gave away a portion of their like normal direct route service. And they came to me, and I was just volunteering at the time, and said, could SVT do this? And I said, well, yeah, go back and forth from bus stops on a schedule. Yeah, I think we can handle that. Because we were doing demand response, we're going everywhere for everybody all the time. So it was like just drive up and down the same path over and over again on a schedule. Yeah, we could do that. And so, with your help, with the help of Dow Constantine and King County Metro, they gave us a contract to do this. So instead of running every 3 hours, they used little buses to go every 90 minutes between North Bend and Duval, made it a donation-based program, and the ridership went from 7 to 12 riders a day to 65 to 110 a day within a month. So frequency really matters. It's not like we did anything magical. We were still going to the same bus stops. But people knew us, so it was easier for us, I think, to talk to all the local cities and say, hey, we're doing this thing, and and talk to all of the human service agencies and the libraries and the businesses and stuff like that. We literally took timetables everywhere. But it went up so much for two different reasons. It was no longer $2+ to ride. It was donation-based, and it was twice as frequent. So those two elements are really important.
Kathy will be back next week for the next part of this discussion right here on Valley 104.9.